Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
Liberty Counsel received summary judgment on a case involving the Southern Poverty Law Center. We're going to be talking about this on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead.
Well, you're Matt. I just give praise to the Lord. After all these years, we can finally say we have victory. And it's thanks to Him in all of this.
Yes, indeed. And we just want to thank you all for praying. And this is the case involving Janet Jenkins versus Lisa Miller et al. There's other people that were involved. Lisa Miller was an individual who was our client at one time up until 2009, and she disappeared from the country. The problem, however, started sometime before that. It was a case involving first of a kind. It involved one state law, Vermont against Virginia, which had civil unions in Vermont, no civil unions, no same-sex marriage in Virginia. And then there's a federal law, the Federal Defense of Marriage Act, which gave Virginia the right to have its own law regarding marriage. And there's other federal laws as well. And so this case became so well known back in the early 2000s that it actually became a moot court problem for law schools across the country. Wow. The Lisa Miller fact pattern versus the Janet Jenkins became a moot court problem that law school students argued in moot court competition. So we represented Lisa Miller. She became a Christian, and that's what happened. She entered into this relationship. She got artificially inseminated. She gave birth to her biological child and then got into this same-sex relationship with Janet Jenkins in Vermont, using a Vermont civil union law, then tried to get out of it after she became a Christian.
Well, let me interject here. Okay, they had a relationship first, then she got artificially inseminated, right?
She had somewhere along that line, it may have been first or second, but it was right around that time. It wasn't Janet Jenkins' biological child. It
right.
was Lisa's biological child that she got artificially inseminated by a third party.
So my question is, even though they were in a quote-unquote same-sex relationship, that was not Janet Jenkins' biological child. So how would she have so
yeah.
much power to say, this is my child and I
now,
deserve
that's a great question.
To have custody of her?
In Vermont, there's Vermont case law in the Vermont courts. And typically what has happened in some of the courts, not statutory, but some of the courts have said in a case where there are two people residing together, whether they have a civil union or not, and they're not married, but they're residing together, and one person does not have a biological connection to the child, if they've been together for a certain period of time and then they separate, there are some courts in the country that have made up a rule that they should have certain kind of parental rights.
So what was the period of time in this case?
Well, typically it's 2 years.
That they were together.
But in this case, it was much, much less. It was only less than a year.
Okay.
And so what happened in Vermont, Vermont had a system where you had to have, by court rule, much longer time frame together. Janet Jenkins did not meet that time frame. So the original Vermont trial court in the family court ruled that notwithstanding, that trial court was going to grant Janet Jenkins, quote, parental rights, even though she had less than the general time frame living together with Lisa Miller and Isabella.
And even though she was doing nefarious things to the child, they were still giving her that right.
Yeah, and what happened is after they separated and the Vermont court issued some visitation orders giving parental rights to Janet Jenkins, then when parental rights were exercised and visitation occurred, there's all kinds of things that happened where you had the Heather Has Two Mommy books that Janet was reading to her, other kinds of things, bathing, other kinds of things that was going on that made Isabella very uncomfortable. Isabella began to do bedwetting, have nightmares, tried to harm herself. Mm-hmm. Lisa got very concerned about this, tried to let the Vermont court know and resolve this issue, and the Vermont court would never bring up the issue, never bring up a hearing on the issue. So visitation issues continued on over time, and then there was conflict in that respect because it's kind of like, you know, you have your child, you see the child being harmed from your perspective, and
you're going to protect your child.
You want to protect it. So
first and foremost,
there was some resistance on some of the visitation. We were litigating literally at the Court of Appeals in Virginia, Court of Appeals in Vermont, and then boom, she's gone. No warning. And then she ends up fleeing the country. So this goes on for several more years. Eventually, there are criminal charges against some people who helped her, not associated with Liberty Counsel at all. We did not know about any of this. And then Lisa Miller is sued by Janet Jenkins, and then Janet Jenkins names a bunch of defendants, 2012. Mm. And then she amends her complaint a few years later, and she names me, she names Liberty Counsel, she names Rena Linda Valtzen, one of our contract attorneys that was helping Lisa in her representation at the early phases.
Sounded like she was seeing a lot of dollar signs.
Yeah, and then what happened is it caught the attention of the Southern Poverty Law Center, and the Southern Poverty Law Center thought, oh boy, this is a great opportunity. Let's go after Liberty Counsel. So
yeah,
we went through enormous depositions in the discovery. And in fact, here's a funny thing, Holly. They gave us all kinds of search terms to search for. And we had to search in all of our emails, all of our systems. We had to do enormous amounts of searching. One of the terms they wanted us to search for is the word fag. Have you ever used the word fag? Well, as a matter of fact, we don't use the word fag. But you asked for us to search, so we search. And our system searches all the OCR, you know, PDF type things. And it finds the word fag in our many, many documents in our system one time. So what was it? It was in the book, The New England Primer.
It was a cigarette, wasn't it?
No, it was something else. It doesn't really mean what we use for the word fag today.
Yeah, it's a slang.
It's a different kind of meaning. But it comes from the 1600s.
Well, I thought it was like cigarette or something.
It's a bundle of sticks, actually, what a fag is. Anyway, the fact is, all right, it's in the New England Primer. We had a PDF of the New England Primer from the 1600s. So in the thousands of pages, we sent them the New England Primer, right? So they then respond, and they're upset. Well, they go to the court. They send us the New England Primer. And we go back and say, well, you asked for the word fag. We don't use it, but we found it used once, and so we were complying with your discovery request. We had 186,000 pages of documents. Mm. Lots and lots of depositions. We did hundreds and hundreds of pages of legal arguments for summary judgment, 5,000 exhibits in our summary judgment motion, enormous amount of time. And now the federal judge in Vermont has come back and ruled for us in summary judgment, finding that the statute of limitations has expired against Janet Jenkins, and finding for Liberty Counsel and Rena Linda Valtzen on the merits that there's no evidence that a jury could actually use because there's no sufficient evidence presented by Janet Jenkins in the Southern Poverty Law Center.
Frankly,
I think in this particular case, the SPLC continuing to pursue this, because listen, in early 2024, we had a deposition of Janet Jenkins, and it was very clear in that deposition that she knew the statute of limitations had run on this case, and the SPLC continued to pursue this case. Once they know that, and certainly they should have known that long before, to continue this kind of litigation, I think, is frivolous. So we are considering what kind of response that we will do, because we spend an enormous amount of time defending ourselves. The
absolutely.
SPLC, the only reason they're involved is because they want to, and they hoped to, destroy Liberty Counsel. They did not succeed because truth prevails. And, you know,
absolutely.
The fact is, they produced nothing, no evidence that suggests anything that we had any involvement. In fact, the judge says all the others that are involved in this case, they all said, no, we had no knowledge, no involvement, nothing. You know, Elon Musk has actually mentioned the SPLC and wanting to make sure that it's not funded by any of the federal dollars. It had an open door during the Biden administration. That door has been shut. This organization needs to take responsibility for its actions because it puts organizations like Liberty Counsel at risk by falsely attributing to them what they know is false. And some crazies out there read their material and they take action.
Yeah, there's been
violence. Violent action.
Violence as a result, yeah.
Well, thank you for praying for this case. This is a great victory, and it's been many, many years in the making. Thank God we can focus on other issues that advance religious freedom, life, and the family. For more information, visit lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org.